And many have been desiring to see the miraculous within their hands, and they've been asking of the Lord to do this and to do that. For that which you have been longing for, says the Lord, I'm about to release it in a brand new dimension. Natural mind will say, well, is that of you? And your spirit man will say, step out, and you will see the fruitfulness. You will see the signs and the wonders, says the Lord. You'll see the increase, and even your sons and your daughters that you have been longing for and praying for across the land and around the world. You'll begin to hear the whispers that something is changing. For I'm releasing this person and that person to minister to those that you have been calling out to, says the Lord. For truly you've heard it, this is harvest that has already begun in your midst and in your spirit, says the Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we give you all the praise and glory. Let's just...
Thank you, Jesus. Oh,
hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
We receive everything that you want to do.
Yes, Lord.
And everything that you are already doing. Yes. And the harvest that has begun.
Yes, yes.
Immokalee is saved.
Yes, yes.
We give you all the praise. Thank you, Father.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, with no further delay, this is our main man's with us. Give Dr. Dr. Gary Carpenter, would you?
While we were in worship, I just got through telling Bronk, before we walked out of the office, said, well, I'm not going to need the hula hoop anymore. I might as well put it in the trunk of the car. And then while we're in worship, the Lord was he was combining some things in a different way and showing me how he wanted the service to go, and it's a little different flavor. This will be first, to see this tonight, this way. So he was showing me what he was really wanting to do and the vision he wants to impart. How do you know faith is the substance of what? Without a vision, the people perish. You've got to have hope. You've got to have something you're pressing toward. Otherwise, all the mechanics of faith, unless there's a vision, unless there's a living hope on the inside of you, it's not going to work. And so part of what he's doing right now, remember, the language of the Holy Spirit is visions and dreams. The more I get to know him, the more he deals with me in pictures and a vision and something to see. And so he was doing that very thing. Be sure and leave that prophecy on the tape. Tape. How long will it be before I quit saying tape? Boy, I'm dating myself now. We were talking today. I was so shocked the first time I walked into a Best Buy and I wanted to buy cassette tapes. Sir, we don't sell antiques here. The antique store is down the road. What? But anyway, he was just showing me how he wanted me to present this tonight, and it is exactly that word that came forward. It's just exactly fit it. And I'm going, well, praise God. I mean, he's already preaching. We hadn't even started yet. I want to remind. Is anyone? This is your first service this week? Okay, good. We don't have to relay the whole foundation. I'll just tell you right. Yes, sir. I just work here. Yes, sir. Instead of turning, he's got so much to cover tonight. Let's do it this way. Let me get your mind going down this path again. He's bringing us into the supernatural. I mean, on where the supernatural becomes natural. Because in his kingdom it is. You got to understand what we call supernatural is not supernatural to God. It's just normal kingdom business. He's going to illustrate that in a way tonight. Now the verses that brought us here, remember in the Luke, I believe it's 18, he was saying, the things that are impossible with men is possible with God. Then he's had us over in Isaiah 55. I think I've got that one marked, so I don't misquote it. Let me just read it again. Isaiah 55, verses 8, 9, 10. And let's just read all four of them tonight. See, you got to understand where God is from. We're going to illustrate it again. Where God is from, the physics of this, can we just call it the realm of the spirit tonight, okay? The physics are not the same as the physics that we have here. When we come up against something impossible, it is not impossible where he is from. And what we have to remember, that realm where God lives, that realm of the spirit, that realm created this realm. One year, he said it to me like this, and I've never been the same since, you know. I do know that everything will respond to the Word. And the reason I know that is because John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. And in the Greek, it says, no, not one single thing. In Genesis, we go back and we see how everything was made. It was made with what? Words. So he said it to me this way one time. He said, the reason that everything will respond to the Word is because at its core, it is the Word. Now the reason everything in our realm will bow to the realm of the Spirit is because it was produced by the realm of the Spirit. And the laws, or you could say the physics of that realm, supersede the physics of this realm. So God is there in that realm. He can see us. We have a hard time seeing Him. But He's telling us from where He is. He's trying to get it across to us little earthlanders, even though we're really born of that realm now, but our mind is very earthlandish. Remember last night, I would pick up the basket and cover my head. Earth head. We've got to get past earth head to become spirit head, spirit minded, child of God minded, kingdom minded, however you want to, where it no longer is like, but it's like, well, of course. I think that's the attitude Jesus had. Well, of course my Father will do this. Of course. So let me read the verses. You thought I forgot, but I didn't. I'm going to read the verses. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Now, last night's message, we talked about His word in two forms. Thank God for the written word. Anyone that knows me knows I love the word of God, what we call the Logos. I can find out many things in here about his plan for Gary's life. I found out he wanted me healed. I found out he wanted me saved. I found he wanted me to trust him to provide for me the things that I need as I'm about my Father's business. I found out he wanted me to love people. Who knew that? I found out there's so many things that I can find out about his will for my life in general, because overall his will for all of us is the same. He wants everyone to be saved and healed and that type of thing. But what we don't have here in this book is the book of Gary or the book of Jimmy or the book of whoever. For that, he sent us the Holy Spirit. That's why in Romans 8:26 it says, for the Spirit itself makes intercession for us according to the will of God. He that searches the heart knows the mind of the Spirit, for he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit, he looks in your heart. And if he looks and he goes, this guy does not have a clue. He doesn't have, he's clueless, you know. I think when he found me driving those trucks, I mean, in some ways I was where I was supposed to be, because God, I look back in retrospect and he had me in the perfect job for somebody that needs to catch up. But I think in general, my life was probably 42 miles away from his plan for my life. But as I began to yield over to the Holy Ghost, he began to make intercession for me as rapidly as is possible. He brought my life back in line with God's original plan for me. Thank God for the Holy Ghost, okay? So when he says, and along the way, you'll receive words. And those words, if they're genuine, call them what you want. Prophecy, whether you hear it directly from the Holy Ghost yourself, whether Bronk prophesies that word a while ago. That word came from God's mouth. If it didn't, it's not prophecy. And God intends for that word to prosper no less than the written word. But look at it yourself. He said, so shall be the words that goeth forth, verse 11, out of my mouth. If it's really prophecy, or if it's a tongue and interpretation, or if it's a revelation, or just him talking to you, that came out of God's mouth. It is God to you. That prophecy that came through me back in 2006, he says, when you hear my words, not just my written word, but when you hear my words to you, those words become your life. I'm thinking right now of Peter. When he told Peter, he says, Peter, you're going to live to be an old man. You're going to be an old man before you die. Peter took that to heart. It wasn't very long, just a matter of days or weeks, and Peter was in prison. They were going to cut his head off the next morning, or they're going to execute him the next day like they'd already executed James. Most Christians I know would be in there all night. There wouldn't be no sleeping. They'd be fretting and worrying or storming the gates of heaven or whatever it is that they do. Well, what about Peter? When that angel come in, what did he find Peter doing? He was asleep. Why? I'm not dying tomorrow. Gee, I've already have a word from the Lord. He's already told me I'm going to live to be an old man. That was like a few days ago. I don't know what's going to happen, but you guys can stay up if you want. I'm going to go to sleep. Well, that's how we're supposed to react when we get a word from God. Now, I am going to read you again this tongue and interpretation that came while we were at the Ohio conference a few weeks ago. And everybody that knows me know I don't do that very often. It has to. In fact, I even resisted that one for a little while. I call this Come Up Higher. It's really short. He says, mysteries hidden, mysteries from the foundation of the world, brought forward this day by my Spirit in this hour and this generation, to purge the mind of my children from the falseness of the doctrine they have been taught from pulpits, with good intentions by men that loved me, but they were deceived by religion, deceived by education, deceived by the ways of this world, and not taught by my Spirit. Come up higher, my children, and let my Spirit teach you the things of the realm that you are really from. Whew. Man, if that's not the word for this hour, if that's not exactly what he was saying in a little different form back there. Now, during the worship today, I'm not going to do the whole illustration again. We're just going to go to Flatland. How many of you remember Flatland? Flatland is an imaginary world that we've been using to... Oh, it makes noise. Hallelujah. About the only hula hoop. Well, I can do that and I can do this. You know, so it's about... sort of. Okay, I'll quit. Flatland is an imaginary world that we've been using to teach. There really is no such thing, but let's just... Like my grandson used to say, Papa, can you pretend? Well, pretend with me that there is a flatland. Flatland only, it's like a sheet of paper. Flatland has length and it has width, but there is no vertical, there is no depth, only length and width. And I had this brother right here. He's a good flatlander guy, even though you see him standing here, we're talking like he's a dot. With no height or anything, he's a dot, and flatland is just a page, and there is no vertical. But in flatland, all of these people live there, And it's length and width, and he's real familiar with Flatland, and he can traverse his area, and he's been to Flatland University. He's a college graduate. He may even be a Flatland PhD-er for all I know. And he knows everything that's possible in Flatland. Everything is great. And maybe he even went to seminary, and he thinks he knows what all God can do, you know, in Flatland. And everything is great in Flatland until one day in Flatland, represented by this hula hoop, there is an obstacle. Now, let's just say that his goal is to get to the center. Let's just say maybe that would represent healing. Let's say it would represent sight if he was blind. Let's say it would represent salvation if he's lost. Sozo, whatever sozo means. Let's say it would, whatever it is that he needs to get to right to the center of that circle represented by the hula hoop. Problem of it is, the hula hoop is really a whole series of dots. There's no spaces between the dots, it's solid. To a flatlander coming up on this, it would look like an impenetrable castle wall. I mean, it goes clear to the sky. There's no getting over it, there's no going under it. And so he starts going around it saying, well, the only hope I have is maybe there's an opening of some kind. There's got to be a window or a door. He's looking really good. But he can't find anything. You know, there's absolutely no way. So he's like, it's impossible. It's impossible. There's no way that I can possibly get to the center of this thing. Now, I'm not going to make Bronx stand up this whole time because this is going to take a while. Would you mind being the Earthlander? Now, go up two steps. Boy, he's been paying attention. He knows, see? So he's an Earthlander. Now, the Flatlander cannot see the Earthlander. Earthlander, what I mean by that, he lives where we live. Three dimensions, okay? He understands his thoughts are higher than the Flatlander's thoughts. His ways are higher than the Flatlander's ways. And he's watching this poor little Flatlander and his dilemma, and there's just nothing this guy can do. And by the way, it doesn't matter whether he's a good Flatlander or a bad Flatlander. He's not. You can't earn what's about to happen. It's all based on the mercy and grace of the Earthlander. But he's watching this guy, and he's never going to get there. There's not anything he can do to save himself. He can't heal himself. He can't save himself. He can't do anything. So just based on the mercy alone. Suddenly this guy comes down, picks him up, sets him over. You can go, now go back. I'm going to need you to stay there a while. You're young. You can do it. You're young too. I don't mean that. I'm just having mercy on the pastor tonight. And it's a miracle. It's a miracle. And all the rest of us, we were watching all of us other Flatlanders. As that fella picked him up in Flatland, he disappeared. Because we have no thought. There is no concept. There is nothing in Flatland that would even give us a perception of what? He just left. He was there, then he was gone, and then all of a sudden he reappeared, and there he is. And it's a miracle. It's a miracle. And the guy up here is going, oh, brother. To the Earthlander, it was just normal business. Notice it was completely based on grace. There wasn't anything this fella could do. Isn't that right? Now, let me switch just a little bit. With that thinking in mind, suddenly this man is God, okay? No. And you're an Earthlander. I want you to be thinking our situation with God now. I'll tell you what the church has done. Step back outside for a minute. When it comes to the impossible things, Homer sitting back there right now, you'll never convince me in 1,000 years that it's not God's will that Homer leave here seeing tonight. Not just seeing, but free of sugar diabetes completely and never to have it come back again. You'll never convince me different. I know that's the will of God. Okay, so we're talking those kind of things, whether it be blind eyes, the lame walk, the deaf hear, whatever the miracle would be. Now, what we have done, keep this analogy in mind. This guy was really thankful. He's really thankful what happened when the Earthlander helped him, you know. Man, he starts telling other people. He becomes an evangelist. He does. He starts telling everybody in Flatland, I'm telling you, there is another being out there. He is great. We just call him God. He's God. His ways are higher than our ways. And so he starts telling everybody about that. And pretty soon he starts building a Flatlander ministry. Yeah, he starts increasing his mailing list and he starts building Flatlander churches. And he starts telling everybody about this being over here. But all the people that come, they need healing. They need sight. They need new legs. They need their children saved. They need everything. But what this guy gets involved in is Flatlander activity instead of Earthlander activity. And he keeps telling everybody about it. And they build big Flatlander churches and Flatlander ministries. But hardly anybody gets saved. Hardly anybody gets healed. Okay, now. So what happens then? Now, again, this is the first time I've taught this. I'll be better at this about 4 or 5 times down the road. I'm walking through it as I'm seeing it. So you know what God did? Now we're switching and flipping. But we're switching and flipping back and forth between Flatland and Earthland here. See, what God had to do, he had to change Flatlanders into Earthlanders. Can I say it that way? In our case, he had to change Earthlanders into Heavenlanders. He did what we could not do. So come again. He says, first off, if you're really going to function in my realm, you can't not be a Flatlander. You're going to have to be a Heavenlander. Pick him up again. This is salvation. Hey! All right. And it's all by grace. Suddenly, he has a spirit on the inside of him now that can be taught the things of God. All right? So God sends his spirit. Okay, now you're his spirit. All right? This guy here, now he has a capacity to be taught the things of God. Trouble of it is, his head keeps getting in the way. Last night I used the bucket, you know, like earth head, you know. His head keeps getting in the way. So God has to create a language that bypasses his head and says, I'm going to teach you how to do this and function as my son in Flatland. If you learn how to do this, then you'll learn to cooperate with my spirit. He says, so Fathead says, teach me, Lord. And he says, I have many things to say unto you now, but you cannot bear them. But he says, but let me communicate with my son. Well, I am your son. No, you're Fathead. One time the Lord, I've shared this with Bronk, it's in my face-to-face documents. One time the Lord said to me, I had these questions. Now this is embarrassing, I shouldn't have to tell you this. You know what he said to me? He said, I don't answer every question of the soul just so it can have lordship over my spirit. And he meant the spirit on the inside of me. My soul wanted all these answers. My mind wanted all these answers so I could continue to be in charge. My mind. And he's saying, would you please step aside? I need to talk to my son now. That is exactly this illustration that's going on right here. Now, what's happened, he's trying to get this son of his educated to a realm where he's never been. I've never been. I've never been to heaven. Paul said he went once. Nowadays we have all these, quote, prophets, and apparently they go to heaven about 5 times a day. But, I'm not so sure about that. Paul says he went once 14 years ago, and even what he heard then, it's not lawful for him to say. Okay? But these guys today and ladies, you know, they go like 3 times before lunch. I mean, it's just amazing. But I'm not so sure about those ministries. What's going on? The church at large, and even the best of the churches at large, we love God. We tell people about God. It's not all bad to try and build a church and ministries. I'm not trying to make it bad, like, you know, mailing list and that type. We're trying to help people. But where we really failed is not allowing the Holy Spirit to teach the real us. We are invaders from another world. We are the children of God. We are from the realm of the Spirit, but we tend to keep defaulting back to what comes natural to Earthlanders instead of functioning as heavenlanders. Is that illustration enough? Are you getting that? Okay, thank you. I think you can be seated. Okay, thank you very much. I'll do better with that next time. Hey, the first time I tried to teach this whole thing, I was teaching Flatlanders as a sheet of paper, and I turned the page and I dumped everybody off of Flatland into the abyss. So I've gotten better, you know, I've gotten better. I'll get better at this one. This is the first time I've seen this one exactly this way tonight. He had me bring this document tonight. This one is available at my website also. It's called, give the exact title, The Highest Order of Reality. It's in the face-to-face documents. I'm telling you, everything old has become new again to me. Things that he was trying to get across to me way back in 1998 and 99, I've walked in them to some measure. But suddenly now that I'm really seeing what he's trying to do, it's like, oh my Lord, he was trying to teach me then the things that we have to know now. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, go to Acts 5. I saw Peter's shadow. How do you know it was Peter's shadow? I don't know how you know those things. I know it's in Acts 5. Yes, sir. Okay, the prophecy that came, I can't repeat it exactly, but the essence of it, the fruit that's about to come out of this house is about to greatly increase. This right here is a picture of revival. This is what God intends to be normal in Immokalee. This is what God intends to be normal in churches everywhere. Let's say it this way. This is what God intends to be normal for His children everywhere that where they are willing to be taught by the teacher that He's really sent us. So let's pick it up here. I know the shadow is a few verses down, but pick it up in verse 12 of Acts 5. It says, by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, and of the rest durst no man join himself to them. But the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Now notice this. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets of Immokalee. Are you okay? And laid them on beds and couches all down the boulevards, that at the least the shadow of Peter, or the shadow of Bronk, or the shadow of you, passing by might overshadow some of them. And there came also a multitude out of Naples and out of Fort Myers, and out of all of the surrounding cities. Let's get a picture. All round about Immokalee, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits. And they were healed. How many?
Every one.
Let's get a picture. Let's let God paint a picture of hope on the inside of us tonight. This is what God calls normal. This is the manifestation of that word that came forward. This is the very fruit that He's talking about. Where the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, and it's not occasionally, it's when they bring them, they get healed, every one. Say out, look to somebody and say, every one of them. Say, all of them. Not one leaves without what they came for.
Every time.
Without exception. That's what God intends. That's what this benevolent God who's watching us from another realm, this is what He intends. Last year, I think, when I was here, or maybe the year before that, I did a message out of Matthew where I went to five of Jesus' services, five different ones. I stayed in Matthew so I'd know I wasn't duplicating, the same message over in Mark or something. Five. Now, I'm not saying everybody in every city got healed, but I will tell you this. We have five services at least. Thousands of people there. And in those five, every single person received their miracle. What is the will of God? He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Let's get a portrait. Let's get hope painted on the canvas of our heart. Yes, sir. Some might say, I heard this. Someone might say, well, that's apostles. That's apostles that he's using. Okay. Come right over to chapter 6. It is. I mean, that was apostles there. But does he use believers in signs and wonders and healings? Well, let's see. Let's just keep going here because it kept growing. The ministry is just, you know, we're early in the church here. So let's start in Acts 6. And in those days when the number of the disciples, say disciples, not just apostles. Yeah, say that. Not just apostles.
Not just apostles.
Disciples.
Disciples.
Okay. Was multiplied. There arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. So then the 12 who? 12 apostles called the multitude of the disciples. So we got apostles and we got disciples. All right. Hello, disciples. How many of you are a disciple? I'm a disciple. That's just a disciplined follower. So the 12, the apostles, called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look you out among you, among who?
Disciples.
Among the disciples. That's right. Look at ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. How many has been baptized in the Holy Ghost? How many of you have been sitting in this ministry long enough you have some wisdom from God? I think you have some wisdom. Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. The saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and that guy right there, and Timon, and that other fella, and Nicholas. And these are all disciples. Not one of these is an apostle. Get that. Not one of these is an apostle. These are all disciples chosen out of the multitude of disciples, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the what? Disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen who? Stephen the disciple who was, can I say it this way? The man was, his first job in ministry was he waited on tables. You don't start a whole lot lower. Okay, this is not an apostle. You're going to serve. Most people would almost be offended. I've prayed, Pastor, I've fasted, I'm full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. What do you want me to do? I want you to go feed the elderly widows. And they're going, what? No. But he took the lowest seat. I'm telling you, in the kingdom of God, the way up is the way down. You want God to exalt you? Take the lowest seat. But now, the Holy Spirit, I'm almost going into tongues now. The point the Holy Spirit is wanting to get across to you, this is ammunition for you to fight that thought. Well, Bronk will be laying hands on the sick and they'll be reaped. Candy will be laying hands. Homer will be laying. No. It's not just for the fivefold ministry. It is for the disciples. Stephen was waiting tables for crying out loud. You got that? He's waiting tables, serving the widows their food. Come on. But now watch this verse. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Raise your hands. Say, I am a disciple. I am full of the Holy Ghost. I am full of wisdom. God, your son said that I would receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon me. I am a disciple. Full of the Holy Ghost, full of power. I lay hands on the sick and they recover. I do signs and wonders in Jesus' name. All things are possible. All things are possible. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm telling you, the fruit is about to increase now. He has come to teach us, his real children, his higher thoughts, his higher ways and how to co-labor with his spirit. Now, for the longest time, yes, sir, get in my son today. I'm going very carefully, can you tell? He does need it to flow both ways. Yes, sir. My goodness, he knows the Bible. Go to Matthew 28. My goodness. One of the most, Brock, even the most familiar scriptures that we've known since our earliest Sunday school days, they're all new again. They're all new again. It's like, when did God rewrite my Bible? When did it get new again? Well, since Earthland, Flatland, since all this has been, oh my Lord. Look at this. This is, of course, after the resurrection, verse 16, Matthew 28:16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, now they're looking at the resurrected Lord here, okay? They worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, and you know that's the word exousia, that's authority, right? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now let's stop for just a minute. It's interesting that he makes that statement there after he's resurrected, because what we see, when we see him doing miracles, healing the sick, casting out devils, all of those things, is not in his glorified body. When he did all of those things, he did them while he still had a body from this earth. But it's interesting that he says now that he's standing there in a glorified body, which is not from this earth, now he says, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. But if you'll notice, from the time of his resurrection on, he never does one miracle. Not one eye is open, not one healing, nothing. He doesn't do a single thing. Now, he does do supernatural things, but it's like he walks through a wall. I love it. He eats the fish, walks through the wall, and the fish doesn't slide down the wall. It just amazes me, you know. Somehow the fish gets glorified when it gets on the inside of him. I mean, he is from another realm now. But when he says, all authority is given unto me, how many believe he has all authority in heaven? I also believe he has all authority in earth. But see, to exercise authority in earth, you have to have a body from earth. But now his body is not that one there. It's not from the earth anymore. If you haven't heard Dave's series, Advanced Studies on the Born Again Trail, and I think the title is called The Glorified Body, you're in for a ride. I mean, I've listened to it 3 times and I'm still not teaching it yet, okay? I'm telling you, it's got a lot in there. But let me just tell you this part, that your glorified body is not from this world. It's not, the DNA in it is not from earth. So what does he mean? All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. He doesn't even have a body from the earth now. Or does he? Let's see, wouldn't it be good if the Lord still had a body that was of the earth? Let's see, we are called the body of Christ. And he got this across to me. If I had the flat, I don't need my helpers to come back. See, it's God who lives in this other realm. He wants us to function from that realm. But see, God himself has no hands in Flatland, if you'll allow me. And he sees hungry people in Flatland. He has no hands in Flatland except Flatlanders' hands, if dots have hands. Well, he has no hands in the earth except our hands. This does go both ways. He does want us to feed the poor. He wants us to care for the elderly, to visit those in prison, to do all he need. Do you know he doesn't have a mouth on earth anymore to teach like tonight? He has to be willing to get a guy who's willing to leave his wife on her birthday. Anyway. And lily cakes at graduation. And I'm happy to do that. You don't get me wrong. But he has no lips to teach here except the lips of us. So it is a two-way thing. He does need us. But what the church has majored on are those things that we can do. I can give, Earthlander, I can. But see, a Muslim can feed the poor. A Muslim can take care of orphans, you know. He wants us to do those things as his hands and his compassion and all of that. But what he's really calling us to do is be trained by his Spirit to allow kingdom business from the realm of the Spirit to flow just like they did when we see Jesus walking the earth himself. And we have done just about everything but that. Good Lord, my mind, I'm sorry, it's not just Gus over here. Terry. We were just talking today. I love the fellowship. We've had, anyone that travels with me knows that I don't travel with a coffee pot. That's ridiculous. Whoever told you that? I travel with two coffee pots. One of them may go out. I mean, you know, I've got to have a backup. I do. I have two coffee pots in the room. And so, you know, this week we've had fellowship over there. And man, I enjoy it and they enjoy it. We'd pound the table, take another sip of coffee and talk about God, you know. That's all good. And see, but if we're not careful, we get caught up in that. We enjoy that. That's something we can do. It's very wonderful. But that is never going to get Homer where Homer can see again. I'm not against fellowship. I like fellowship. But we've got to be careful that we don't... yes, sir. Man. Did I read that? I've done this so many times, many different places. I'm just going to have to read it to you again. And if I already read it to you, forgive me. Here's another word that came through me. This was last year, the last service of 2013 at the prayer center. How transparent do you want me to be? Pretty transparent. When this word came through me, it talks about being sold out. To be honest with you, it came through my lips. I heard it when they heard it. That's the way prophecy works. You don't get to judge it first. Anyway. Because if I did, anyway. I honestly thought when it came through, I'll just read it to you. I thought it was really for the people. Because after all, I'm pretty sold out. I mean, come on, you know. So it says, this year coming up, this was December 29th, 2013. It was a Sunday night, I think, the last service at the prayer center of 2013. It says, what I heard this afternoon in prayer, this year coming up is the year where we sell out to him. There is going to be great division in the church, and I'm talking about the prayer center. With good intentions, but great warfare, some will stay, some will go. And I'm telling you, that's okay. It is the year of selling out to him. Whatever his will is, I don't live unto myself anymore. Well, when I heard that, I'm trying to be honest, you know. Well, that's a good word. These people need to sell out. That very week, the Lord showed me personally three idols in my life. Three. I'll tell you about two. They're not wicked things. They're not anything horrendous. One of them was football. God's not against football. It's okay, I mean, to watch some football. But for a fellow who says that he's sold out, and for a fellow who's really contending for what we're contending for, it's not okay every Saturday from 11 in the morning till probably 8, 9, 10 at night. Come on. That's not okay. It's just not. I can to watch one maybe, you know, or if championship time, you know, but to do that week after week after week, that's not okay with God. He was just showing me this is becoming, and yes, sir, and I can tell you how you can tell if it's an idol. Stop it and see if you have withdrawals. Oh, yeah, sure enough. The second one for me, probably not for you, is I'm a newsaholic. I like to watch CNN, Fox News Network. I like to see what's going on. You know, I'm not normal. I am. I'm overbalanced on it. Sue will walk by and going, "Are you still watching that?" "Yes, ma'am." So it's fine now for me to scan the headlines, you know. You can do that in about a minute, 2 minutes, you know, kind of scan the headlines on your iPhone or whatever you've got. But it's not okay for me to sit there for hours a day. You do an hour, and then you'll go back, go somewhere, then you come do another hour, and then go back. And before, by the end of the day, I may have had 3 hours. And this is a guy that sold out. This is somebody contending for a revival. Gary, what was the third one? The third one was Nunya. It's none of your business. I'm not asking about your stuff. Come on now. Yes, sir. So you thought I forgot about that document. The highest order of reality. I'm not going to read this whole thing. It would take all the rest of our time. This is available at garycarpenter.org. If you'll go to the face-to-face section, you'll find they've got all those titles listed. We have it just like this, where you can print it out on your home computer. I also have all of them now in audio format. I've got them on my iPod and on my iPhone. I myself listen to myself say these things to keep my mind in the process of renewal. I do want to read you part of this. See, we're talking about teaching, where the Holy Spirit comes and He takes you personally and starts training you. I have resisted a little bit sharing a whole lot about what He taught me, how I was to expect the gifts of the Spirit to flow through me. Because I'm afraid if I do that and I tell you what He told me, He may not work with you exactly that same way. I know what to expect when it comes to a word of knowledge. I know how that's going to probably work, okay? But I'm not going to put Him in a box and say that's the only way He works. You with me? Okay. Yes, sir. So let me read you part of this. He said, the highest order of reality. Now again, get this picture again. Here's God. If you can imagine the earthlander and the flatlander, His ways are higher than our ways. Or picture God and His relationship with us. We're faced with all these things. To us, there are things that seem impossible, absolutely impossible. But from God's perspective, what we're even looking at, He doesn't even call real. The highest order of reality is when the Spirit of the living God, and He's talking about the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit of the living God is loosed in the name of Jesus Christ to reorder the material realm according to the original intent and purpose of the will of the Father. True ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ are those whose thinking is elevated above the ways of man. They have entered into that realm of the Spirit to flow with the mind of the Spirit, to reorder all things by the Spirit. Of those who are ministering in the name of Jesus Christ upon the earth, I have few who understand these things, says the Spirit of grace. This next sentence will kill you dead. Understand that no true ministry has been achieved until I am loosed. Did you hear that? No true ministry has been achieved. This is the Holy Spirit speaking here. Until I am loosed. Either by your faith or the faith of the people to manifest the will of the Father which is in the mind of Jesus Christ. In the most simple terms, the ministry of Jesus Christ in the flesh was to minister the will of the Father to the people by the Spirit of the living God. All of His teaching and all of His preaching was directed toward this end result, that their faith be increased to receive the will of the Father by the moving of the Spirit. This is still the ministry of Jesus Christ through all the ministers in human flesh whom He calls. There's so much here. Now again, this is available to you and many others. free at the website. You can't afford it. It's free. Okay. Nobody's going to stand there on Judgment Day and say, well, that would have helped me, but that Gary, I didn't have the money. It's free. Okay. The present order of reality, which is imposed upon the people by the God of this world. Did you hear that? The present order of reality, which is imposed upon the people by the God of this world. See, you got to get it straight. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about healing all that were oppressed of who? Oppressed by the devil. All of that, he is imposing his will upon the people. He is called little g, the God of this world. Got that? So that this present order of reality, which is imposed upon the people by the God of this world, is certainly not the will nor the mind of the Father which is in heaven. For this purpose he sent his Son, to bring to nothing the reign, R-E-I-G-N, of him who usurps, and to make the kingdom of light available to all who would choose the Lamb as their king. How many has chosen the Lamb as their king? The kingdom of light is available to us. We have just not been taught how to function in it. Not by the Spirit, not by the one who knows how to function in it. True ministry brings forth the will of the Father to reorder this present reality, to restore it to the highest order of reality, which is the mind of Christ and the will of the Father that he originally intended and purposed for man. Nothing is impossible for those who can believe this, says the Spirit of grace. Did you hear that? I don't know how much more of this to do. He said it to me again here. He says, I will say it to you another way for your mind's sake. Unless I move, ministry has not taken place. Do y'all know what the formula, I'm an engineer, I like that. You know what the formula for work is? Work. See, force equals MA, force equals mass times acceleration. But the formula for work is MD, D with a prime. I got it wrong the first time I ever took the test because I thought it was mass times distance. And that's wrong answer. It's not mass times distance. It's mass times displacement. Okay? Displacement. Okay, now, for example, let's say we had an object here that needs to be moved. Okay, and he doesn't want to be moved. Face that way. Okay? Now, work, what God, yes, sir. This is John chapter 6. To get everything in, you're just going to have to look it up later. They said, what must we do that we may work the works of God? All right? Work is not work. I don't care how much force I put against him. Until he is displaced, no work has happened. I don't care if you had good efforts. I don't care if you had good... This will help you. What if there was a big spring between me and him? He had a big spring, like a big coil spring on his back and come all the way over here. For benefit of the tape, I'm standing about 5 foot behind him. And between him and me, there's this spring. Well, I start applying force. You know, I've got force against this. And I'm pushing and I'm pushing. I'm exerting all kinds of effort. I'm sweating. I mean, someone bring me a drink of water or something. As far as I'm concerned, I'm working. But from God's point of view, unless he moves, no work has happened. Force has happened. Energy has been expended. But even our definition of work, until he's displaced, there has been no work. Work is when I move him. Work is when the blind eyes open. Work is when the deaf hear. And what he's saying, I don't care how much human energy, I don't care what you do, I don't care how much screaming and shouting and jumping and whatever it is that you do, unless I move, unless the Holy Spirit is the only one that can do the real work of God. You cannot regenerate anybody's spirit. You cannot open any blind eyes. You cannot make legs grow out. If that's what he's saying, there is no work, there is no ministry until the Holy Spirit is involved. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Give him a hand. It is mass times displacement. And what he's, so that in John 6, when they said, what must we do that we may work the works, plural, of God? They said, work the works, plural. He answers in the singular. He said, this is the work of God. You want to do works, plural? This is the work that you believe. What did he tell them when they couldn't cast out the lunatic, that spirit out? He says, why didn't it happen when we prayed? Because of your unbelief. Gosh, I wish he'd have said because it was a big, bad, mean, nasty devil. Or something that would give us some excuse, you know. No. You want to work the works of God? Yes, sir. I see that's bad news in a way, but it's really good news. Because I can't change the Word of God, can you? I can't change God. I really can't change the devil. But I can change me. Or at least I can yield to the one who can change me. Let's say it this way, I can be changed. So the way he said it to me all those years ago about John 6, this is the work of God that you believe, he just told me to get real. He said, well, obviously if you prayed and Homer can't see, then what's the problem? Is it with Homer? No. Is it with God? No. Where's the problem? It's Bronk. No, it's Gary. The problem is here. But the good news is I can work on that. So the way he said it, he says, well, just be honest with it. Just say, all right, obviously it's my unbelief. I am going to work on the part of me that doesn't believe until I do believe. Yeah. Well, that's everything that we teach. That's the message. That's praying, that's fasting, that's confession of the word, that's renewing my mind. I love the fellowship time. I really do. But and let's have some, but okay, let's have 10 times that. Praying in tongues, confessing the word. I can say it. Come on. Y'all help me. Fasting. Yes, fasting. See, I thought there was really only one mistake in the Bible ever. I really thought there was just one misprint. One little letter. This kind cometh not out but by prayer and feasting. I thought they left out the E, you know what I mean? You know I'm teasing, right? No, it's prayer and fasting. I'll tell you what, though. I have learned more about fasting this year than I have in all the years before. For those of you that weren't here last year, I'm 45 pounds, or at least I was, before Barbara's today. I may be 40 pounds down now. I don't know. But really, it was a modified Daniel's fast. You know, y'all remember the Daniel's fast? You don't eat any dainty meats. You don't eat the king's meats. What's that mean? The good stuff. You know? So Gary, how did you do it? If it tastes good, spit it out. But I am eating a lot healthier. Let me read this. Is this okay? Let me read a little bit more now. I would like for you to get this whole document at the website. This is really, I don't care that he gave it to me in 1998. He is bringing this back around with this new understanding of where we're going. We're not the same people we were in 1998. None of us are. We've all changed. We've grown. I'm listening to the Born Again Trail again right now by Pastor Dave, and I'm listening to it, and I know that I've heard it really more than once already. And I'm listening to it, and I'm going, when did they add that to the Born Again Trail? And I know it was there the whole time, but I wasn't mature enough to hear it the last time. See? And now I'm hearing, well, we're hearing things in a way that we've not heard before. So let me go on a little bit more. Oh, man. All right. He says, I will say it another way for your mind's sake. Unless I move, ministry has not taken place. Present reality cannot be... Okay, let's just talk about Homer. Homer had to leave a minute ago, but is that okay? The present reality is he can't see. And worse than that, the root cause is sugar diabetes, okay? Present reality. We've prayed... Homer's done his part. He's lost like 70 pounds. I mean, you know, he's lost the weight and done everything. So we've done our Flatlander things is what I'm saying. We've done the Flatlander things. But we want to change that present reality to God's reality. Well, God's reality is he won't have sugar diabetes and he'll have his eyesight back. And I personally think the big toe can grow back myself. Amen? Why leave that out? So he says, present reality cannot be restored to the Father's reality except by the operation of the Spirit of the living God. Remember the flatlander in the circle. Nothing the flatlander could do could lift him over. Nothing in his physics, nothing in his realm could get him. He had to have the moving of some other entity from another realm to cause that to happen. So do we. And that's what he's talking about. But we have to learn how to cooperate with this Holy Spirit. Okay? The finest efforts of man will never restore present reality to the highest order of reality. This change can only be accomplished by the Spirit of the living God. Now get this. I cannot move where my instructions are not heard. I cannot move where my instructions are heard, yet not obeyed. How many of you was here when I talked about what happened last year with a nice, genteel lady? I was up at Loretta Cole's church, just praying, just having a good time. There's only about 10 or 15 people there, you know, a small church. It doesn't matter to me. And I'm praying. I've been at this a long time. And in case you weren't here, I'm going to say it again. It's good for you. There was this nice, genteel, well-dressed, classy lady about my age, you know. And Sue was there too, you know. And we're just praying for people. She's standing in the line. I don't even know what's wrong with the lady. But as I'm standing, as soon as I get in front of her, the Holy Spirit says, my instructions, put your finger in her mouth. What do you think my response on the inside was? Are you crazy? I'm not going to put my finger in this lady's mouth, this nice, genteel looking, refined lady. What's the matter with you? You think I'm crazy? On the outside, you appear calm. You're trying to exude faith and build, but on the inside, it's like, what? You want me to do what? Put your finger in her mouth. You know, and there's not that many people. It's like, okay, well, I'll come back to you later. I mean, there's not like that many. So I kind of half apologized to her. I said, I really hope you forgive me for what I'm about to do. I'm just doing my best to obey God. And I took her, Lord, and I went, I put my finger right in her mouth, you know. I said, oh God, oh, I didn't say on the outside, but on the inside, it's, oh God, oh God, oh God, I hope this is okay. You know, well, she didn't get mad at me or anything. She said, thank you. And I just went on. And nobody ever calls me and tells me later, you know. So a year goes by and I think, what an idiot. You are an absolute idiot. And by the way, we went to IHOP later and she was real nice to me, you know, and I noticed I had lipstick on my finger. Come back this year. I don't know why they didn't call me. Come back this year. She couldn't be at the meeting this year, but she sent a special offering, and she told Loretta to be sure and tell me. She has had a history of sores in her mouth for years and years. Since that day, those sores have been reduced like 80%. Now, isn't that something? See, I'm wondering, well, was I disobedient? I didn't hear him say swirl. I wonder why the other 20%, I don't know, you know. I mean, but is that a good illustration? My instructions? Yes. He says here, I cannot move where my instructions are not heard. Well, that's level one. And in the beginning, you got to pray and be willing to take your trips to the barbershop. I think most of you know what I'm talking about there, okay? But you've got to get to the place where you hear. Trust me, that's the easy part. When you start hearing him, that's when it gets adventurous. That's when it starts getting exciting. Yes, sir, I'll tell another one. Okay, we got time for this. He does all kinds of miracles for people. He does financial miracles. Now, Sue and I, this was... You know, we had to talk about the early days when money was staying away in great abundance, okay? I mean, literally, we did not know where our next biscuit was coming from. I have stood and thanked God for gasoline in my truck when I couldn't drive to the end of the block, you know? And so in those early days, he would give us some instruction, but it was like $5, $10. Well, time went on. Things got a little better. We started traveling and doing some ministry, and the money wasn't quite as tight as it was before. I have this message that I teach called Back to Zero Again, because he's many, many times he takes us right back to zero in our bank account. First he did it with $10. Did you know you can be just as selfish with 10? Anyway, I won't go there tonight. I didn't want to give up the 10. He told me, give that lady $10. And I'm thinking, I hope I don't have $10 on me. And I guess how much I had. Exactly $10. Give it back to zero again. Well, a few years went by, and during a service at the prayer center, now I won't say I didn't have any knowledge. There was a lady there that I just know her kind of. I didn't know her real well, but I did know enough to know that she probably was in a little, hurting a little bit financially. And, you know, in my mind, I was thinking $300 or $400, you know, she probably could use some help. But the Lord started talking with me during the church service. I couldn't even hardly hear Dave for the Lord talking. Now, see, my instructions cannot be obeyed where they're not heard. That's, trust me, if you do this message, you're going to get to the place. That's not going to be the issue. The issue is going to be what you heard. You'll be begging to go back under the tithe. I'm telling you right now, you'll be begging. You'll be, God, can I please just give 10%, please? So anyway, he starts dealing with me about that lady. He says, I want to meet her financial need today. He says, at the end of the service, I want you to give her a signed blank check. Do we need to go any farther? He said, I want you to sign it. Just leave it, let her fill it all in. And I want you to tell her to go home and add up all of her, after the service, we got her, you know, to make a show of it. And said, what we want you to do is take this check, it's already signed, go home, add up everything that you're behind on. Now, don't go buying clothes and stuff, but any bills that you're behind on, add them up and fill in the amount and put this in your bank and pay your bills. Okay. Now, again, in my mind, I don't know where I got the idea. I was thinking $300 or $400. Where Sue and I turned to walk away, and she says, she's holding that check. She goes, where is there any limit? And I hadn't even thought of that. So I'm asking on the inside, God, is there any limit? I heard these words come out my mouth. I heard them when she heard them. I said, keep it under $5,000. And I try not to look like this. Keep it under $5,000. And I'm walking away full of faith. And on the inside, oh God, oh God, oh God, I don't even know if we have $5,000. Now you're having me write hot checks. We're probably going to jail, oh God. Y'all think we're all full of faith up here. We're walking by faith like you're walking by faith, okay? I don't even know if we had enough money in the account. You know, I get home and the first thing we do is I start finding out. Sure enough, we had almost to the penny, $5,000. And that check came to, if I remember right, it was $4,900 and some odd bucks. For all practical purposes, it was back to zero again. My instructions, let me say it again. I cannot move where my instructions are not heard. And I cannot move where my instructions are heard yet not obeyed. Gary, have you ever missed it? Going on. Well, sure I've missed it. Sure I've missed it. What do you do when you miss it? Give up, throw in the towel, throw out the baby with the bathwater? No, you repent and ask for another chance. And he'll give you another chance. You know, he's the God of the second chance, third chance. Peter thought he was being real generous. Shall I forgive 7 times? How about 70 times 7 in a day? Okay. So if you miss it, just repent. Give me another chance. May not be with that same person. He may use somebody else to meet that need. You may have missed that opportunity. Trust me, he'll give you another one. Okay, I got to go on. I cannot move where my instructions are not heard. I cannot move where my instructions are heard yet not obeyed. Hear me this day, says the Spirit of grace. The Lamb is calling you to become, and I think he's saying this to each of us, the Lamb is calling you to become expert at hearing my voice. And to yield your will upon the altar of his life, which has been imparted unto your spirit. That's a real nice way of saying, I don't care if it hurts, obey him anyway. Do what he wants. I don't care if it's back to zero again. He fed you when you had nothing before, he'll feed you again. He says, hear my voice. Obey my instruction that I may move on behalf of those where he sends you, that the Father's order of reality can be manifested in their lives by his hand outstretched. This is why the Lamb spoke to you and said he has not called you to minister to the people yourself. He has called you to be the vessel through whom he can minister to the people himself by me. The life he imparted to you is the life upon which I exercise dominion to restore the highest order of reality for every man. Without him, you can do nothing. Without me, you will never have his mind. Did you hear that? Without him, you can do nothing. Didn't Jesus say that? But the Holy Spirit says, without me, you'll never have his mind. You'll never know what he wants. One time he said to me, the sin of the religious people of Jesus' day, you know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all of those, he said their great sin was they rejected the Son who had been sent to reveal the Father. He said the sin of the modern church today, church at large, they have rejected the Holy Spirit who has been sent to reveal the Son. We don't know what to do. We don't know where to go. We have good intentions, but we think like flatlanders. We've been trained in flatland. We think flatlander ways, and we get flatlander results. He's saying, come up higher. Come up higher. Let my Spirit teach you these things. Okay. Is this okay?
Yeah.
You okay? This one is so good now. We ought to take up an offering right here. Can we take up an offering? You think the Holy Ghost can't get right in your business? Now watch this. He's talking to Gary now. He probably would never say this to you. This is what he said to me. I'm going to put my name here. Gary, you are having difficulty receiving the instructions that come from the mind of Christ, in part because you are expecting them to come in a manner in which they shall not come. His instructions come in such a manner that the power of the Spirit of God is loosed to solve the problems. Now here it is. You are still expecting his instructions to come in a manner that will cause you to move. But his instructions shall come in such a manner that will allow me to move, says the Spirit of grace. Did you get that? The flatlander. What do you want me to do, God, to get into the circle? What do you want me to do? I'm walking all around. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? That could go on forever. And what had to happen, the Spirit had to come and lift him over from a realm that he knows nothing about, really. The Spirit had to be loosed to solve that problem. We keep trying to solve the problems with flatlander power instead of kingdom of God power. Isn't that good? So let me think here now. In every location, the ministry of Jesus Christ produced the moving of the Spirit of the living God. We touched on this last night. I did a research project a few years ago. What did Jesus actually do? If you'll watch when he ministered, he did things, the instructions he had were the most simple things that any flesh human could do. Spit on the ground. Make clay. Put it on the guy's eyes. Tell him to go wash in the pool. Say these words, be loosed from thine infirmity. Say this, do that. Everything, he did not do anything spooky. He did not do anything that was beyond the ability of any human to do. Everything he did, now he did it at the direction of the Father, and by doing those simple things, it loosed the power of the Holy Spirit. And he's calling us to be just like that. Stick your finger in the nice lady's mouth. Write a blank check. You can do that. Not many will. Like I said, you'd be begging to go back under the tithe. Can I just give a tithe, God? No. This is the ministry of Jesus Christ. This is the ministry of Jesus Christ in you. The life he has imparted to you is the life which I anoint with dominion to manifest the will of the Father everywhere you shall go. Now get this. Not only in services, but in every encounter as you are continually aware of my presence. He's talking about Walmart. He's talking about Handy's. He's talking about wherever we go. As you continually hear my voice, see my visions, and comprehend my revelations to you, the results of the moving of the Spirit shall be in your wake also. You know what wake means? Everywhere you go, behind you will be saved, healed, delivered, set free. Just like we read there in the book of Acts. They brought them on the cots. They laid them, even the shadow passing by. And they were healed, every one. Come up higher, he's saying. Come up higher. Be trained, be taught by the Spirit who has been sent from the realm that we're really from. Did you get anything out of that? Hallelujah. Give him a hand clap. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Oh, I almost forgot now. I want to read you two other short prophecies now that came. It's so appropriate, the way this service started with a tongue and interpretation. And in here now, I'm going to end it with these prophecies. These came recently. These are in January of this year. Came on the same day. God says first, I am raising up a family who will trust me and will follow my steps and not be afraid that I will abandon them. And when all hell comes against them, they will walk through because they will not let go of me. That was the first one. Now get this one. What I am sending, the revival, it will carry a weight and power that have not been recognized very many times through the centuries. I will come in with such definition that you will be able to define what I am doing and know that nobody else could do it but me. It will be in such a way, the signs and the wonders, in a way that people will go in, helping them in the impossible, so that whole cities of sinners will be left without doubt and without wondering what to do about their next step. All I need is people that can turn me loose on that level of freedom. How many thinks he's found that people? I believe he has found that people. I believe these visions, these pictures of Flatland are going to haunt us. They're going to stay with us. And we'll catch ourselves being busy with Flatlander work and go, this is never going to get it done. I'm going to go pray. I'm going to go meditate my Bible one more time. I'm going to go confess the word. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit teach me until we're doing heavenland. Let me just say kingdom business. We must be about our Father's real business. And that's the kingdom. Okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.